In your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, 9 through 14. Matthew 12, 9 through 14. Now when he had departed from there, he went to their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, What man is there among you who has one sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, Stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, that we can come into your house and just worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us. And Heavenly Father, we ask tonight once again that the Holy Spirit just speak to our heart. Enlighten our hearts, and we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. There's a lot of people in church every Sunday, but they're really not in church. They're here, but they're not here. They have their name on the church roll, but yet they don't belong to the kingdom of God. A lot of people think this because they come into a church and sing hymns doesn't mean you have a song to sing. We've lost a lot of people. A lot of people have lost the joy in going to church. I'm glad I was able to come tonight. I'd rather be in church anytime, amen, than in a hospital, amen. I'd rather be in church any day than in a hospital. But people are like this man here. They sit at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the water to be troubled. No one to get them in. They're here with withered hands. They're here with broken hearts. They're here with all kinds of things in their life. They come to church many times with hurts in their life. What are they looking for? They come looking for Jesus. They come to hear about Jesus. And I praise God that when we come here, we ought to hear about Jesus. Many people are like the man laying at the pool of Bethesda. They're at the pool, but they're not in the pool. They're there at church, but not in his service. I believe we ought to be in service for God. I believe we ought to not only just be at church, but we ought to be doing God's will at church. In our script here today, we're inside of a house of worship in the synagogue. Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. And the Pharisees were mad at Jesus for healing this man, enough that they wanted to destroy or murder him. You see, they could plot murder, but they didn't want the man's hand to be healed. And a lot of people are like that today. We come to church with everything on our mind except what Jesus Christ calls us to do. Now, three figures stand out in this passage of Scripture I want us to look at tonight. One, and I believe they're in our churches every Sunday morning. I believe they're in our churches maybe not on Sunday night. I hope you're all, saved tonight. I pray that you are. I hope you're all in good spirits tonight. I pray you are. But there's all three in our church just about every time the doors open. One of them is the Savior. If you want to find Jesus, you would find him at the synagogue. Mark tells us he was at the synagogue. Three times in the New Testament here, this passage of Scripture, he says Jesus was at the synagogue. Jesus Christ was doing the service that his Father had sent him here to do. His very presence on Sunday morning in our lives is a message for our lives to be in church. And the best place, I believe, to find God is in his church. This church is his, he started it. And he said, upon this church I will build Upon this rock I will build my church. And as Jesus Christ ought to be able to be found by the hurting every Sunday morning in his church. His presence is a welcome in our church. It ought to be welcome in our heart. We can link our lives to Jesus Christ in his church. And the best place to do his work is in his church. You know, if we're beaten down with sin, we ought to be in church. Somebody said, too many people up there are hypocrites. Well, church is for sinners, isn't it? You see, we ought to find sinners in the church. We ought to find those with sorrow in their heart in the church. The best place to find help, I believe, for whatever we need ought to be in the church. If we need help, which we do, we ought to be in church. I see the man with the withered hand. He went to church that morning because he knew Jesus Christ would be there. And I believe if he went to church to find Jesus Christ, we ought to be in church on a regular basis. I don't understand why we can't worship God more than once on Sunday morning. I know in our society, people, our churches, I've got friends that are pastors, our churches are turning away from Sunday night service and turning away from Wednesday night service and doing maybe a Saturday evening at the house worship. I don't like that because I believe we ought to be in his house, in the church. The Word of God says, not forsaking our assembling of ourselves together as the day is approaching. Man, a day in times is approaching. You can look around on your television set. You don't have to look at it long to know that it shouldn't be long before God comes back. If we need faith, we find it in the church. If we need healing, we'll find it in the church because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So Jesus Christ was there at the church. In the day of hurry and hurry and hurry, like I said Wednesday night, we need to be still long enough to let God speak to our heart. In the church, we can look beyond time to eternity. I love that song I'm reminded of. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Man, we heard a beautiful song. The choir sing that song. I had it on my mind while they were singing, but now it's gone. But let me tell you something. It's about going home. It's about heaven. And I thought, man, I'm looking forward to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ought to look forward to it. We come here with sorrow on our minds sometimes, and here we find eternal joy in Christ Jesus. And in the day of corruption, I need to know that in Christ we have hope. He's still on the throne. No matter who runs for president, no matter who gets to be president, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. In this day of pain, I need to know that all tears will one day be wiped away. In this day of suffering and sad goodbyes, man, we have some sad goodbyes. I need to know that there'll be a reunion day one day. Man, this past year, we were talking about it a little earlier before service, it's been a tough year losing loved ones. But yet, we know that one day we'll see them again because of their life in Jesus Christ. I need to know that God cares. In my day of sorrow, in my day of hurt, that my God cares. He's right there with us. He's closer than a brother. I need to hear it every week. And I don't need to hear it. I don't need to water it down. I need to hear that Jesus Christ loves me. He's coming back for me, that I need to turn from my sin and turn to the Savior. And the place to find God is in his church. The synagogue was much like our service here. In the synagogue, there was teaching. In the synagogue, I believe there was preaching and praying and singing. But notice, none of these took hold of the withered hand. It was only Jesus Christ that could do that. Friends, we need to hear the preaching of the word. We need to let Jesus Christ come into our heart. Our prayers ought to be, come in, Lord Jesus, come in. open up our hearts, open up our minds. We have today in our services every Sunday, we have people that hurt. We have people that have crippled lives. And the only thing that they need is that personal touch of Jesus Christ in their life. You see, it's not the fellowship that helps you. I know we come to do a lot of fellowshiping, but it's the love of Jesus Christ through the fellowship of Christians that change people's lives. The best way you can win someone to Christ is take a personal interest in fellowship with them and talk to them about Jesus Christ and become a friend of them. It's not him that help, but it's the power of Jesus Christ that comes through that him that helps. You see, a lot of times we sing these words of songs, but it's through the message of these songs. What was that last song? What a wonderful change in my life has brought since Jesus came into my heart. I think that was it. Maybe not. That's what came to my mind. Did we sing that? This morning. Okay, I'm still geared up for this morning. See, it takes a long time to get. These will come back later on, about middle of the night. I was singing a song the other day, and Rhonda said, "What brought that song to your mind?" I said, "I don't know." But it was there. You see, if you're desperate for God, we need to reach out to Jesus Christ. Man, we need to reach out to him. You know, it's not a sermon that changes your life. It's Jesus Christ getting hold of you through that message, you see. Through that sermon, he may come through the handshake of a friend. Oh, I like to go through the church and just shake hands with everybody and tell them, you know, I'm glad to see him there. It may come through the voice of the singers in the choir. But no matter how it comes, I pray that it comes with the power of Jesus Christ on our lives. You see, no matter how he comes, we need to call upon Jesus Christ. And this man with the withered hand had come to the synagogue to find the Savior. Not only was the Savior there, but something else was there. The scorners were there. The folks in every church, in every bunch of people, there's the critics. There's those pretenders. There's those always that want to run down something. There's the doubtful. There's the scorners. Their presence is inevitable. They're always there, no matter how good the week's going to be, there's somebody that's got to have some negative. It was the same way in Jesus' day, so we ought to be happy, you see. How many times have lost people said to you or to me, you know, in that church there's too many hypocrites. I brought that up Wednesday night. I want to say, oh boy, come on in, one more won't hurt. You see? We've always got an answer. Sometimes we just keep quiet, you know, don't want to hurt their feelings. But listen, I'd rather be in church with 40 hypocrites than in hell with a whole bunch of them. There's not as many as they think, though, in our churches today. There's a lot of people drawn to God. They come here. Yes, they do things different, but they come here looking for the Savior. And yet, sometimes we find the critics. In our church, many of our young Christians are not as grown up as they should, and many of the older Christians are not as grown up as they should, and sometimes they say things that they shouldn't say. But we have to realize they're growing in their maturity. They're maturing at a mature process. But if you were Satan, let me ask you something. If you were Satan, where would you put your choice people? Outside the church or inside the church? I believe he puts them inside the church so that there'll be disunity in God's church. You see, sometimes the old devil is the one that wants to just break up the unity in a church. I've seen more people do damage inside the church than I have outside the church. Think about it. The presence of the blind, the insensitive, the Pharisees are always in our churches. And they were in the synagogue that day. And they didn't like what they saw when Jesus Christ healed this man's hand. They spent so much time studying the Word of God, they couldn't hear the Word of God when it was right in front of them, you see. And so many times we come to church and we've been so much in a hurry, so much through the week we had to spend time feeding our own lives the Word of God, that when we come to church, we don't hear the Word of God because we've got it blocked out. We've got the, it's not coming through in our minds. They felt sorry for a lost sheep, but yet they didn't want to heal the one with the withered hand. And today we fight in our churches and we say cruel things and unkind words to one another. You know, sometimes we come to church and we think we have to be so formal. Sometimes you think, you know, that we have to be entertained while the lost are dying and going to hell. I watched the show, The Titanic. I enjoyed that show, Titanic. One thing it struck me unusual was, the band played while they were sinking. And I thought that was kind of unusual. The band played, they carried on the band, and they were playing, and as people were drowning, the band was still playing until the ship went under. And I think sometimes that's the way we are in church. We come, and we hear the music, we hear the preacher, but people are drowning all around, and we don't see them as they're dying. The power of these ungodly should be minimized. I notice here in the Bible, Jesus Christ didn't let it bother him. He went right ahead and healed the withered hand. You see, if the godly people in our churches would take a stand over the ungodly ones and correct the wrongs, the church will never grow. We need good people in our church. We need people to take a stand for Christ. When you hear someone spreading gossip, when you hear someone talking negatively, correct them in a loving way and say, hey, you know, we ought to be thinking on the positive side. You know, I know there's some people that I don't understand it, don't like the preacher, but that's all right. I'm such a lovable fellow. And I know some of you don't like our deacons, but that's all right. They're nice people too. I have a problem with some of them sometimes. And I don't know if you like your teacher or not, but you ought to. You ought to pray for that teacher. You ought to love that teacher. You ought to be one that helps that teacher make it through their Sunday morning. You know, people all the time work and they spend hours of study upon this topic, and yet sometimes we don't even pray for them. And then we don't come. There's some in every church, but our Lord never let those critics dictate the ministry in which he carried on. So you find the Savior there, and you find the scorners there. But what else do you find? You find the sufferer there. And the sufferer is a person in need. You know, to God, it's those with needs that need to be in the church. He said, I came to seek and to save those which are lost. And the Bible says, behold, a man was there with a withered hand. It says, take note of this man. Behold, a man was there with a withered hand. He had a need in his life. How different are we today to estimate the importance of a person? I was thinking about this, and you know, we single out nobility, don't we? God singles out the nobodies. We honor those who sometimes have much, but God honors those who have a need. We speak of professional athletes as they were something real special, but God cares for the hurting ones, the aching ones in life. You see, if you're here with a need tonight, it's God who can touch that need and give you healing. If you're under a heavy load of sin, it's God who comes into your life. He says, cast your every burden upon me, Take my yoke upon you, for it's easy and my burden light. If you have a sorrow tonight, and many of us do, and we're looking for God to lift that burden, the most important person in the church is you, because God will reach out to you and lift that need and that burden if you'll just let him. I don't know about you, but most problems are solved by faith in Christ Jesus. This man tells us that many of the life problems are solved not by works. There was nothing he could do. Only simply reaching out and touching Jesus, or reaching out with a withered hand. So Jesus Christ, and let me tell you something, he came through some tough times to get to the synagogue, more than likely. It's not by natural means that we're going to be okay, but the supernatural trust in Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ will he solve our problems. You know, somebody said most problems are tried to be worked out, but God gives us the steps and directions that we can turn them over to him, and he can work them out for us. You know, have you ever had a problem where you just said, I don't know how I'm going to work this out? And yet, you turned it over to God, and through your amazement, everything just kind of fell in place, didn't it? Not all problems have a how-to. Sometimes, the harder we try, the deeper we sink. See, it's kind of like a man falling into quicksand. The more he struggles to get out, the faster he goes under. But when we say, Lord, I don't know how to work this out, I turn it over to you, he works it out in our life. One of the favorite passages of Scripture is Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. If you're here tonight and you've got a problem, if you're here tonight with a burden and you don't know how to solve that burden, Jesus says, reach out to him. Turn it over to him. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, would you ask him to come into your heart tonight? I don't know every one of you. If you're here tonight, and you're looking for a church home, why not come be a part of this church? You need a church home. You need a place that you can go to. You need a place that you can worship God. And folks, let me tell you something. God wants you in his service. If he's got you here, somebody said, well, preacher, you know, I feel like I'm too old to do anything for the church. If you're here, you're not too old. God is not through with you yet. There's something you can do. Just let him tell you what to do. You know, if nothing more than to show up is a blessing. If all you can do is come and sit in a pew, come on. That's a blessing. That's an opportunity that you have to praise and glorify God. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you. At least you can do is come and praise him and give him. You know, we've lost something about remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, haven't we? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that if we're looking for Christ tonight, he's here. He's right here amongst us. His presence is so real. And Lord, there's always those that criticize. There's always those that are negative. But Lord, I pray for those that are here with a hurting heart, with something in their on their mind that only you can work a miracle in. If Lord, if there's someone like that, I pray tonight they'll get it straight with you. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.